The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to, what is today, Thursday? Yes, Thursday, I think. In any event, I'm not really here. I'm pre-taping this with my guest for the hour, Naomi Wolf. Naomi, welcome back. We can't get enough of you. You're a fascinating guest, really, on many levels. And thanks for coming back.
It's so wonderful always to speak to you and your community, Eric.
Thank you. It's important to talk about the things we generally talk about. And so I'm not sure where to start. The last time you were on this program not long ago, I just realized that we had much more to cover. Let's go back just because we could. A couple of months ago, or more than that, I'm sorry, back in April when you were on the program, we talked about vaccine passports. And I told you the last time you were on, it was literally because of that interview, according to YouTube and their creepy community standards. Not that we're judging their Marxist, creepy, intrusive community standards. Hey, that's on them. But they said that it was the interview that I did with you back in 2 months before they knocked us off of YouTube, where we talked about vaccine passports. And of course, my question is, how is it possible in the United States of America for anybody, unless they're Marxist, anti-freedom human beings, the enemies of all of our freedoms, how could they say that it's a problem to discuss something significant that affects every American? And so, of course, we discuss that. And to say I make no apologies is a grand understatement. But let's go back. Today, I guess it was today or yesterday, I heard that the Biden administration, which I don't take seriously as an administration, but we'll just put that in brackets, that they are requiring federal employees to get the vaccine. What am I to make of this?
I mean, you're right to ask. It's all kind of coming together in a very I don't have evidence that it's all coming together in a pre-planned way, except knowing what campaigns at the very highest levels look like. It's clearly a pincer movement, right? The one way or another, what my read is as a former political consultant, is that the people who helped elect the Biden administration, whether it's big tech, big pharma, some combination of those, Bill Gates, had a deliverable, and the deliverable was clearly 70% vaccinated and vaccine passports. And why is this so attractive? You and I have talked about it. I warned everyone about it in April. I tried as hard as I can. And I have to say, our warnings and our conversations have borne fruit, because I'm so sorry that YouTube, you know, is deplatforming you or trying to, based on what you and I spoke about. And I hope this conversation survives. But when tech companies like Microsoft, which is one of the companies that has the contract, have vaccine passports, they will be more powerful than any administration. Really, they'll be more powerful than nation states. So that's what they want, and they weren't getting it, right? There's been resistance. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but people have reasonably been thinking, well, I'm healthy, I'm under 40, or I'm under 50. These are untested. I'm not at a high-risk category. I'm not willing. I'm going to wait and wait till there's actual formal FDA approval. Whatever. People can make whatever decisions they want for themselves. The bottom line is the CDC has corrected its overstatements of the past and is acknowledging that almost half of Americans have chosen at this point not to be vaccinated after a full-out push of ever since November, really, from this administration. So what I see is the deliverables are in trouble. And this is so evil So the Biden administration is throwing in people that they can coerce, like mafiosi. They're saying, you know what, the people whose payroll we pay, postal workers, VA administrators, you know, the people who mow the lawns on the public playgrounds, you know, federal employees, we will force them to be vaccinated because we have that power to turn the screw of they need to feed their families. And this is so evil. I can't tell you how many emails I'm getting from people who work in the Veterans Administration system. These are people who are taking care of, you know, men and women who put their lives on the line to defend this country. And many of them are veterans themselves. And people who, and I'm the wife of a veteran, so this makes me very, very emotional. But the people who are looking after our nation's veterans, right? We made a sacred promise to those men and women that we would look after them. Those people are being told you will lose your job unless you take an experimental medical procedure. And I can't think of anything more evil in the history of this country. And in terms of, well, I can. I mean, slavery is more evil, right? But this is on, this is inching toward that kind of spectrum of outright state coercion, of giving people, federal employees, the choice of you will eat and feed your children and your career will continue if you put, let the state put something unproven into your body.
Let's, I mean, let's just go there, Naomi, because there are people who listen to this program who have been brainwashed. In other words, they don't hear anything you're saying or I have said or guests have said. They don't know any of this. They just look at their phones and get Yahoo News or whatever it is, and they think that's the news because let's call them naive and be generous. So they don't know what we mean when we say this is not a vaccine. This is an experimental therapy not yet approved by the FDA. It's supposed to be an emergency in case people are dying in the streets from the bubonic plague. We've developed something that might save them. But that something, which now seems to you and me genuinely unnecessary for almost anybody to get, is now being forced on people. And we don't know, and I think this is fair, we have no idea what the results might be. We don't know if 10 years down the road, it's going to be like the thalidomide babies. Like, oh, we gave these drugs, and well, whoops, we're sorry. Children are being born with arms and legs. We didn't know. We're sorry. We won't do it again. I mean, you take drugs if you feel you have no choice, that you think, I know I'm going to die, so let's try this. That's why Trump put it on this fast track. They succeeded. But this idea that everybody has to get this right now, like, it doesn't seem to work to me on any level. It's confusing to me why anybody would get the vaccine except because they're being told they need to. That's all. Not for any reason except
yeah,
that you want to go to a concert, better get the vaccine.
Right.
You want to do this, you want to do that. I mean, what am I missing?
Well, I would slightly
please push back.
That.
I mean, I want to know what you think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to stress I've been assailed by the people who are getting millions of dollars from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for vaccine, overcoming vaccine hesitancy, now $1 billion from the Biden administration for overcoming vaccine hesitancy. All that money is flowing through our mainstream media now. And so that's why people on their phones following Yahoo News or the BBC or even The Guardian, people who used to be serious news outlets, are no longer free to report on adverse effects or really to report objectively at all on any of this. I mean, that's one of the feats of this historical moment. So there's a tsunami of money flowing through major news outlets. They can't report objectively. However, as you know, I just got off an interview with a doctor named Seth Corey, who's running for Congress because he's appalled. He's a pediatrician. He's a Yale graduate. He's one of our, you know, not our classmate. He's a little older, but, you know, very credentialed guy. And he's saying, if you are elderly, if you are frail, if you are immunocompromised or the elephant in the room, if you are severely obese and you have a BMI or a, you know, torso. Sorry, I'm doing this wrong.
You're getting personal.
Letters.
Go ahead.
Okay. if you are severely obese, you should consider a vaccine because of the cost benefit ratio. But if you're a healthy person, if you're a child, if you're an adolescent or a young adult, it doesn't make sense because of the risks. So you're absolutely right. People should know, and I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but people should know that these mRNA injections especially have not been FDA approved. And for things that I care about, women's health, pregnancy, lactation, ovulation, conception,
hang on, there's no data. We're gonna pause. Folks, I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. Don't go away. Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? VivaLore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. Naomi, before we continue, I want to put our cards on the table. You are, you said, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Like, we have to say this. Like, I'm not a wife beater. I just want to be clear. Like,
I'm not a communist.
Like, we always have to, we have to do this, right? I'm not a wife beater. Let me just be clear. I'm not a racist. Let me make that clear. It's so stupid, right? Here we are trying to have a conversation, but we've been bullied into this kind of defensive crouch. It's a defensive crouch, and it's offensive to me that we have been put into that position. But I just want to be clear. You know, you say you're not an anti-vaxxer. You are a lifelong Democrat, feminist. You wrote a whole book with vagina in the title, right? Okay.
That was the title. Yes.
That was the title. I've not written any such books, just to be clear, to put my cards on the table. But, you know, you are somebody that you're an original thinker. You care about these things.
Thank you.
You care about your family, your kid. And so you do your research and then you actually talk about it. And many people have been cowed into silence. And that, to me, again, as an American, is deeply offensive. So thank you for talking about this, being a voice of reason. You were just sharing how there are risks. In other words, you said if you're obese, whatever it is, yes, maybe get it to be safe. But if you're not, the risks might outweigh getting it. So don't get the vaccine. That's why I'm not getting it. I'm telling everybody I know. I just wouldn't get it because I don't even know what the risks are. So where are we on this whole risk thing? People are getting blood clots. We don't even know. We can't even talk about
it. Eric, yeah, I will speak to the risks. But before I do, I really want to push back clearly, okay? I take it as kind of a core philosophical position that I should not tell anyone what to do with their body. As a feminist, that is absolutely fundamental. And one of the tragedies of this time is that I've seen feminists on the left lose that core principle that your body is a sacred thing for you to decide about and no one else. So I'm not going to tell people take it or don't take it. I'm also not a medical doctor. As a journalist and as a citizen, I believe in informed consent. And also, having read actually a book about the Nazi doctors and how the Nazi era used medicine and health to marginalize people, to coerce people, to cow people, and to create a category of people who were second-class citizens and then ultimately life unworthy of life, I see very scary things whenever society says, when the federal government says, you know, I'm going to take your body and do something with it, and these bodies can have more rights than these other bodies. That is categorically bad. But having said that, your body, your choice. That said, there is a lot of data that anyone I love, I hope that they turn to and think about before they make this decision. One of the databases I encourage everyone to look at is called VAERS. It's only 1 to 10% of adverse reactions. That's what the AE is. And it shows 11,000 deaths at this point subsequent to, you can't yet say due to, but, you know, closely subsequent to the vaccines for coronavirus. But it shows a bunch of other things that are not okay to me as a journalist. One thing that's not okay is, I'm going to say this again and again, even though Twitter deplatformed me, YouTube's going to deplatform me, I will go to my grave saying this as a woman and the mother of a daughter and stepmother of another daughter. It has no category for women's health issues. And hundreds of women are reporting menstrual dysregulation of a severe kind. And I don't mean to, like, you know, talk about anything that shouldn't be talked about over a breakfast table. But when you've got, just as adults, when you've got women saying, I'm having two periods in a 28-day cycle, or my cycle lasted a month, or many, many super weird accounts of women long post-menopause resuming bleeding after being vaccinated.
What?
Right?
I have not heard that. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Oh, I wish I was kidding. Over
postmenopausal
and over and over.
Women menstruating. I have not heard that.
Speak to them.
But isn't this the point, Naomi? The fact that we're not hearing about this, or we're not supposed to talk about this. I thought, honestly, people have to get angry. It's offensive in the United States of America when people tell you what you can and cannot talk about. It is deeply offensive. And
deeply,
if people
offensive,
don't push back, they deserve to be pushed around, folks. You've got to behave like you're free because you actually are free.
But,
so you're telling me something I'd not heard before.
Well, and I want to, like, reinforce that even more, the importance of women speaking out about these things. When I started reporting on the hundreds of accounts of severe menstrual dysregulation and super weird bleeding, Matt Gaetz got tasked with going onto Twitter, CNN, Media Matters, to say Naomi Wolf is bonkers for raising this. Okay, and then
now,
subsequently,
Matt Gaetz, I think of him as a good guy. He generally, in other words, who tasked him with that? This is surprising to me. Genuinely.
I mean, again, we can't know who tasked this Twitter spokesperson with going to my employers, you know, The Guardian and other news outlets I write for, to say that I was not credible.
Well, but I expect that from big tech. I don't expect that from somebody in Congress who heretofore.
Different Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, there are two names that sound very similar. This is not the congressman. This is the CNN commentator.
Thank the Lord, because I thought that's just bizarre. Okay,
no.
The CNN commentator,
you're quite right.
Suddenly it makes sense.
Yeah, so these big news outlets are getting, you know, millions of dollars from pharma, from Bill Gates, to promote the vaccine, and they have influencers whose job is to hound people like you and me. So I just want to say, before we move the subject of this untimely bleeding, anyone who took third grade biology knows that untimely bleeding of this kind goes to fertility, right? If you want to have a baby and you're having two periods a month, or a period that lasts 30 days, that is going to complicate your ability to have a baby or to have a successful pregnancy and childbirth. There are thousands of miscarriages. And as someone pointed out, a lot of, you can't know, you know, with the shedding of blood. Let me roll back and edit that out, because I don't want to get too gross. But there are many symptoms women are having that would reasonably impact their fertility, and no one's doing long-term studies. We don't have the results. But the last thing I wanted to say about silence is that, you know, I'm so vocal because I know the history of women's health, and over again, we were told thalidomide, as you mentioned, is fine. Breast implants are fine. The IUD is fine. Mirena is fine. It's all in your head. You know, you need to have, you know, a full hysterectomy in order to not, you know, not have mood swings, like on and on and on. And it turns out not to be true very often, but it took women coming forward and speaking up and saying, I'm having symptoms, or I had a bad outcome, before women's medicine and women's health evolves to take those risks into account. So as a woman, I am not going to sit silently by and not tell women that there are these outcomes that are being reported. But you should look at VAERS, because it's scary. What's clearly happening, and I'm not a doctor,
how do you
but
spell
many
it?
Doctors
V-A-E-R-S?
V-A-E-R-S.
V-A-E-R-S, and that's a website.
It's a reporting database.
Okay.
But you know, there are many whistleblower doctors speaking to me, and I encourage you to have them on your show. Dr. Tenenbaum, Dr. Peter McCulloch, and Dr. Paul Alexander, who the latter was the former HHS administrator in the Trump administration. They're pointing out, if I can summarize this correctly, and other doctors have too, that there are the spike proteins are affecting platelets and, you know, accumulating in lymph, and that's why you get myocarditis. So it's not, given that they're affecting the capillaries of our bloodstream, right, which goes to every organ. This is the consensus of these whistleblower doctors. That actually does make sense when you're thinking, well, how can a postmenopausal woman be having uterine bleeding, right? Because it's creating blood clots. It's creating abnormal behavior of our circulatory system, according to these medical doctors.
It's just, it's astonishing to me, again, that most people who've done any research on this know that it doesn't seem to be necessary for most healthy people to get this thing. And yet it's being pushed and pushed and pushed. Question has to be, why? And you touched on it earlier, but let's get into that. Why are people pushing this? Even making up fake words like vaccine hesitancy. I mean, you know, that's like transphobia. Like, I love these words. They're just designed to shut people up. Oh, I'm not that.
I do think transphobia is a useful word.
Well, we may differ on that, but we can talk about that another time. But today, we're talking about vaccine hesitancy. It's just ridiculous. Why do we have to have this term?
Eric, I hate to be this person, but I think the evidence is in and we have to start talking about it. Between the overriding push that will not quit, even though the majority of Americans have made it clear state by state they don't want vaccine passports, right? Between that push and the fact that in Ireland, I just got a text this morning from someone there, you need a vaccine passport to go into a restaurant. They launched it last week or the week before. They rolled it out. In France, I'm getting communications from friends in France. There are protests every weekend because of
forgive me,
passport.
This is too important, and we're going to go to a break. Folks, we'll be right back talking to Naomi Wolf. Hey, folks, this is Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. We're talking about a lot of icky stuff. Naomi, what you just said, the idea that in France and in other European countries, they're requiring, quote unquote, vaccine passports to go to restaurants. This is deeply sick. I'm astonished. There ought to be revolution. The idea that governments would push people around like this, I just don't know what has happened that we would allow ourselves to get pushed around like this. But why do you think, because we were just going there, why do you think someone is pushing like this? Why do they care?
We need to start talking about the why, right? It's pretty obvious. But I just want to say in France and in Britain and the Republic of Ireland, one reason they were able to drive this through, and it's still a fight, and I'm proud to be part of the fight back in the United States, and they haven't succeeded in having a federal national vaccine passport, is their lockdowns in the last year and a half in Western Europe and the Republic of Ireland and Britain have been so, so draconian that people kind of lost their minds. I mean, they've been so isolated. They've been told they can't, you know, visit other people. They can't see their loved ones.
Yeah, it's like putting you in solitary confinement until you're willing to sign any plea bargain with whatever bum. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of okay. Who's pushing this though? Why does the government care?
So let's go to that. All right. And I'm going to talk to you now as a Yale alum. And the reason I bring that up is unless you've been to some of those institutions where the world's leaders graduate from, or unless you've been a Rhodes Scholar or a political consultant to a president and vice president, you wouldn't believe that a high level of coordination could result in a global historical intervention. And I think we have to face the fact that we're seeing a high level of coordination for a global historical intervention, which will shift Western Europe and North America, Australia, to what had been vibrant democracies and shift them into autocracies. And the metric, and I've seen these white papers, the goal is that by 2030, the way populations will be controlled is through data about their health and through anxiety about their health. So I think we're seeing a coordination.
But who's interested in this? Who is leading this? I mean, apart from Satan, the enemy of mankind, and God, apart from Satan, who is behind this? And why do they care about manipulating populations, as you just put it?
So I want to be really careful in response to that answer.
I don't know why you want to be careful, but feel free to be less careful.
I just want to say what I know to be true.
Right.
You know, I just want to stay evidence-based.
Yeah.
Because I'm often called a conspiracy theorist, and it's annoying because I think, as you and I have discussed, when you've been in those rooms where big outcomes are planned, you know that you should be wondering who benefits.
Excuse me. Anytime anybody uses a term like conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer, racist, bigot, whenever they use those terms, from now on, let's understand that's their way of putting up the white flag. I've lost the argument, so now I'm going to resort to weapons and words like that. Anytime anybody calls somebody conspiracy theorist is because they don't have the time or the inclination or the facts to actually say why you're mistaken. So
why I'm wrong.
Whatever.
So having said that, So I see, and I've seen evidence that about three giant interests are aligned. That doesn't mean, you know, and my husband's a former soldier and, you know, military intel. So he, you know, when I go, oh, my God, how can we ever fight against this? These are giant interests that are so aligned. He points out that even really powerful interests that are aligned can have rifts between themselves. And so, you know, inshallah, you know, from our mouth to God's ears. But having said that, clearly big tech is a global, you know, entity. It transcends nation states. And they are the big winners. And they were also some of the coordinators of the messaging early on. So I think I may have mentioned the COVID-19 Response Project, which launched in like April of 2020. Who was that? That was before we knew what this disease was. It could have come and gone, you know, because practically it really doesn't show up in the top 10 causes of death in the United States, right? If there hadn't been a giant messaging campaign over the last year and a half, it would have been bad, a bad respiratory disease, average age of death, 78 to 82, right? In some cases older than the average lifespan, but it would not have been the psychodrama if there hadn't been messaging on your computer, on your phone, on, you know, Google Maps, everywhere you go about COVID-19. Who's COVID-19 response? Bloomberg, Microsoft, Amazon, Zoom, Nintendo, right? You know, all these, I believe Facebook is part of it, not Twitter, all these big tech companies. And a year and a half later, they are up double digit billions for their CEO's revenue. And in the case of Amazon, triple digit billions right? Why would you ever, ever, like, it's almost like unfair to your shareholders to end your influence on policy, to extend the pandemic, extend the lockdown, extend distance learning, if those are the kind of results you're getting for your shareholders. There are other forces behind it. I mean, we have to talk about China. You know, you and I are sophisticated people. I, as someone who knows a lot of people, you know, in the intelligence community and who knows the kinds of concerns people have in the State Department at close hand, when I used to be a spouse of someone who worked in the White House, I'm astonished people aren't talking about more about how are we under attack?
Listen, I'm trying to talk about it when I can. We're going to go to a break. More with Naomi Wolf. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. Naomi, you're talking about stuff that, yeah, people say, oh, that's conspiracy theory. I mean, honestly, I wish it were conspiracy theory. I mean, I'd like to live in a world where this stuff is the realm of conspiracy theorists. But the more I pay attention and talk to folks like you, the less it seems this is anything but what is really happening and what mainstream media doesn't really want to talk about. So I still would ask the question, in other words, this kind of coordination, where are the memos coming from? Are there memos? Does this happen in a back room at Davos? Where is that kind of thing happening that these people seem to
be
tracking?
I mean, that's where, right. So that's where I wanted to pull back and say, you know, I see three or four big interests. I mentioned big tech. I'm mentioning China. You know, it's China's idea of a triumph over us as the rival superpower is to fight a war without a bullet being shot. And I do think some of these policies go to the influence of China on our, especially at the state level, on our elected officials and on some of our media and some, you know, some of our news outlets. I mean, it's been well documented that China has placed, for instance, Confucius Institutes on college campuses. They have bought up the, you know, shares in companies that produce a lot of our media. People have shown me that in states that have a lot of business with China around ports, for instance, like Washington State and Oregon, you have the most draconian lockdown policies. We don't know, you know, to what the outcome, if you flip it around and look at what happened to this country in the last year and a half and Western Europe, the result is the result you get if you were trying to weaken an adversary, right? Kids out of school, economy broken, people sick. I mean, sick from being indoors, sick from depression. But the dissolution of community, you know, churches and synagogues closed. Those policies didn't make any sense as public health policies. They make sense if you're trying to, and my husband has taught me this phrase based on Soviet propaganda, if you're trying to tenderize the enemy.
Naomi, let me jump in and ask you. There was an HBO documentary made, I don't know, 3 years ago, about election interference with the machines. And it was coming basically from a Democratic viewpoint. It's HBO. And they were saying that, and this is still available, it's called Kill Chain. But in the documentary, they were basically saying that the role, or the goal rather, of let's say China or Russia, but mainly China, to interfere in elections is less to get someone elected than to simply destabilize the democratic process. And there were a number of Democratic leaders, legislators in the HBO documentary Kill Chain. Now, as soon as the election happened, suddenly nobody's talking about that anymore, and it's all about Trump and Mike Lindell and conspiracy theories and crazy people talking about election interference. When 2 years ago, Democrats were talking about it, and HBO felt the need to make a documentary about it. But it was about destabilizing our democracy. We're the superpower. It makes sense that if you could, if you have no values, and of course the Chinese Communist Party, they simply want power. They'll do whatever it takes. They'll kill their own people. Why wouldn't they have buildings dedicated to doing something like this? I mean, it's kind of common sense.
I mean, I can't believe people are not discussing this. You know, the fact that the Chinese military was working on bioweapons in the same institute that this came out of, it doesn't mean it was an attack, but I know as a political consultant that, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. There's no reason to believe that if, oops, you know, it's out, the Chinese Communist Party is perfectly capable of letting people continue to fly, continue to spread it around the world, and even lose some of their own people in order to destabilize the West. And look what happened. The West is completely weakened, and China's revenues are up 32%. Look at Zoom. You know, Zoom is, you know, has Chinese interest in it, right? It is one of China's methodologies is to siphon our IP, hack our IP, you know, get our patents. This is their modus operandi, right? They're not shy about saying it. I was astonished to find out that at a state house level, legislators are conducting business on Zoom and on Microsoft Teams, right? One of the other benefiters of this, one of the other interests is Bill and Melinda Gates, the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates specifically. He's invested in the vaccines and the vaccine passports, and he's getting all of the secrets of state by state by state that would have been, you know, in a closed room if the pandemic hadn't gone on and on. And lastly, the World Economic Forum, you know, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I know that their discussions in the last few years have been this futurism, which is true, of climate change, economic stability, food scarcity, and angry mobs. So knowing the masters of the universe, it is completely predictable that in a discourse like that, a consensus might arrive. There's no memo, but it's like, look, they're going to be, you know, the world is too dangerous for democracy. We need to lock down so that there can be top-down management of populations, because otherwise people will be going crazy in the street. It's going to be chaos. If, by the way, you and Fred and Jim over here and I get super, super rich, you know, oops, we couldn't help it. We're doing it for the good of humanity. You know, this is a perfect opportunity. So that's my best analysis. It doesn't mean they're all aligned, but they are all making out like bandits and getting their agendas met.
And it was convenient. I mean, the cultural elite's hatred of Trump made it impossible to process any information that made him look like he got something right. So no matter what the facts were, that, no pun intended, trumped everything. And here we are. It's a bizarre moment. Yeah. Is there anybody out there who gives you hope? Anybody on the landscape, whether in media or in government?
God. I mean, yes, at a state level, you know, Daily Clout, my democracy platform, has been fighting the good fight of bringing Five Freedoms legislation to state legislators, state by state. And we've been effective. No more mask mandates, no vaccine passports, freedom of assembly, and emergency law. So I have met legislators like Melissa Blazek in New Hampshire and
I'm afraid
Heidi Sampson in Maine.
We're bumping up against the time clock. Naomi, you've done it again. By talking, you've made me want to talk to you more. So we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you for everything. We appreciate it.
Say goodbye to all my sorrow and bye tomorrow.
Hey there, folks.
Ha!
We've got a segment.
Yeah.
I think we're going to call these new segments What We're Watching.
WWW.
And we're going to talk about, you know, when we go home and we want to relax.
Yeah.
And we turn on the boob tube, what are we watching?
Yeah.
Now, I've been watching BritBox, which is on Amazon Prime, I guess. But before I get into that, Albin, you wrote something. Talk about what you just wrote, because
okay.
I want you to get that
I wrote a book review of Vody Bachman's great book, Balcom, his great book, Fault Lines.
Fault Lines.
About the CRT and the social justice and the church's involvement in all that craziness.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote a book review that's going to appear this weekend on American Greatness.
American Greatness.
Yeah, amgreatness.com.
Amgreatness.com, American Greatness. Okay.
Yes, so read that. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Yes.
Vodi Balcom. All right, so what we're watching. So it's interesting. My life has changed since COVID. I never used to do streaming.
Yeah.
But now it's almost exclusively streaming, unless I'm watching Turner Classic Movies. I love Turner Classic Movies. They always have great stuff on there. But as you know, there's this thing called BritBox.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got tons of good stuff on there. Yesterday or whatever it was, I can't remember when it was. But I saw something. I'm flipping around and I happen to know that George Simenon, he was like in the 50s and 60s, he was a detective writer. He lived in Paris, and he wrote these books about an Inspector Magritte, I don't know. But anyway, the point is that I saw that there was like a BBC series starring Rowan Atkinson. He plays Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
So this is Mr. Bean in a totally serious role.
Right.
Totally, and he's very good. But we watched the first episode, and based on the first episode, I think I'm not going to watch any more episodes because it was actually oddly off. Like, it was sort of good. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if people will watch this episode.
Well, what's it
but
called
it's
again?
Called, like, Magritte. Oh. What is it? It's Magritte. M-A-I-G-R-E-T. Magritte Sets a Trap or something. That's the first episode, and this is starring Rowan Atkinson on the BBC. But it was so weird. There were a couple of things in it that didn't make sense. Like, I thought, that's just bad writing or something.
Yeah.
But it was so odd. It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't good enough that I thought, I'm going to watch more in the series.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious if anybody, you know, because I never used to watch detective stuff.
Yeah.
But this is good because it's period stuff. Like, who doesn't want to be in Paris in the 50s?
Right.
It's kind of cool.
By the way, Ann and I watch almost exclusively detective stuff on either BritBox or Acorn TV.
I haven't even heard of Acorn.
Yeah, Acorn TV. It's also British. It's
British.
Oh, yeah.
So, but what do you watch on BritBox? Like, I'm
British
curious.
Stuff. Well, I think The Stranger, we just watched that Harlan Corbin's thing, which was really a great little mystery. They had some problems with the script, I think, but the ending was really kind of sad. I was not expecting the ending to be so sad. It has stuck with me. What happened to this guy's wife?
Did you just spoil it for everyone?
Well,
good.
Not necessarily, but it's a little bit of a sad ending.
Anyway, but the Rowan Atkinson thing—it was this weird. It's fascinating to watch something and to think. I mean, I think the night before we'd watched Knives Out, which is a film, and it was really well done.
Yeah.
Like, it just kept your attention every second. I thought, this is why.
Yeah, I think
it won an Oscar or something.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just one of these films you just go, whoever made that, this is awesome.
It's got a lot of great stars in it, too.
Tons.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we saw that.
But it's interesting because I was looking, because I'm a writer, and I was looking at the writing on this Magritte series, whatever it was, this first episode. I just thought it took too long to kind of pull you in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was kind of paced slowly.
Yeah.
And then there was a key piece about this woman who was attacked by this guy trying to kill her, and she ripped off a piece of his clothing.
Yeah.
They never went back to that. It was the most bizarre thing. Even when they actually found the suit to say, yes, this was the one, unless I missed it. But if I missed it, hey, that's on me, man.
Yeah, that is.
But it was just bizarre. Anyway, hey, we're out of time.
Uh-oh.
Lucky you.